Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 19th of May. Joining us this morning, graduation week for some in the neighborhood.
Indeed.
Fred Van Fleck.
Good yes, morning. Yes, my son is graduating tomorrow.
Very cool.
Yes.
Chico State. Do you know what degree he ended up with?
The third degree.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't given him that. Yes, he is graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Agriculture Business.
So he stayed with what he went in for.
He did, yes.
Oh.
But he has since decided to do something else other than what he went in for.
Oh.
Yeah, he originally thought
Gosh,
he was going to do...
Hopefully it's not education.
He was originally going to do viticulture, and now he's decided he wants to be a high school ag shop teacher.
That genetic weakness rears its head, huh?
Well, he's getting it from both sides because my wife
That's what
is
I,
an ag teacher.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know,
it's called doubling down on the deficit.
Well, you know, both him and my daughter got into Cal Poly, San Luis, and both my wife and I graduated from there, and neither of them selected to go there. And so we thought, oh, they're going to take their own path and do their own thing. But, you know, life has its funny way of circling around.
So is that an easy to find job?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. We just had an ag mechanics opening because Kyle Shamp, our welding instructor and ag mechanics teacher at Eureka High School, brand new $7 million shop, state of the art, went to College of the Redwoods to teach welding at College of the Redwoods. Congratulations to Kyle. We're happy for him. Opened up the ag mechanics position and two applicants. And I was just talking with another district that opened up an ag mechanics position, zero applicants. So if you have
some whoever
talent
doesn't
in that
get
area,
it for Eureka High, will get the other job?
At the other one in the state? They didn't apply. There were zero applicants.
Well, I mean.
Could.
You could get a finder's fee out of this deal.
Yeah, that could be true. That could be true, yes.
Milkshake or something. Unless it's like, what, in the middle of the desert or something?
No, it's actually in Sonora.
Okay, it's better than Bakersfield.
Yeah, up by Yosemite, kind of gateway area up there, up in the foothills turning to the Sierras. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice area. It's really nice up there.
So HR, I'm presuming, is going to make the determination here, not the superintendent?
That is accurate. I was not even in on the interview. So, my son's not one of the applicants.
Oh, he's the zero?
No. He still has to student teach and do all that kind of stuff. So, No. He's not even ready to go out and teach yet. Oh, I see. Now I'm with you on what you were saying. I'm a little slow here.
Just a tad. All right. It must be perfect time for us to ask her a question.
So, clarification. My son Brody will not be the shop teacher at Eureka High School because he is not even applying because he is not even qualified yet. Has to do the credential program.
You ready?
No.
Good.
Does it matter?
No. The phrase, why do we say out of touch?
Well, it's been used on me a lot. I would assume that has something to do with when you're reaching for something and you can almost touch it, but it's just out of touch. You can almost touch it, but since you can't touch it, you have no clue what the texture or what the feeling of it is.
No clue is the key there.
Uh-huh.
No clue.
Which, you know, I like my definition well.
I bet you do. That's why you're kind of out there all by yourself. Late in the 18th century, many European military leaders moved towards the use of tighter formations. Men were required to maintain rigid patterns even when on the march. As a practical way of regulating the space, the soldier in the ranks had to be sure that his swinging elbows could just touch those of his comrade on either side. Is it beginning to dawn on you?
It is, yeah.
Good, okay.
You know, it's kind of in that same realm as exactly what I was saying. Uh-huh. I think I should get a 5 out of 10 on this one.
Whenever there was a gap in the line, it meant that some man was literally out of touch. Civilians adopted the military term and expanded its meaning to indicate any situation in which a person has lost contact.
You're not.
You really think that you should?
Yeah, you're not going
to
get
a flying F on that. I'll give you a flying F.
Okay.
A five out of ten.
A 5 out of 10 is better than a 4.
I guess it is, unless you're playing golf.
I had to work on this argument with my parents for years when I was young. So I've mastered the 5 out of 10 versus 4 out of 10. I'm good at that.
Yeah, I probably got about as much traction, huh?
Well, since how my mother was an educator, you would be accurate
in
that assumption.
Hey, what's going on with Jacobs Properties? That sucker's for sale, sold, in escrow. have any interest at all, or is it just sitting there pushing weeds?
Well, we still have the same two folks in the hunt for the property, and those are the two that turned in their interest, and that's the City of Eureka and also the California Highway Patrol. The irony with the California Highway Patrol is, and I think everybody knows this, it's Sacramento and it just takes time. They told us about 4 months ago we're supposed to have an offer in about 2 weeks. I actually just reached out to them here a couple weeks ago, and they said 4 to 6 weeks from that point again. And so it's just a slow process. And it's not...
You're asking what calendar that they happen to be utilizing when they say 4 to 6 weeks.
Right. I know. I should have asked that clarifying question. And just so CHP doesn't get the bad rap on this, this isn't CHP. The realtor for CHP is DGS, or the Department of General Services, in Sacramento. And so that's who we work with through the process. And so we still don't have an official offer from the CHP.
Do you have an informal?
We have a ballpark of what they think that offer will be, but nothing formal.
Yeah. Is that in the acceptable range?
I would be overstepping my bounds of what I could talk about if I said that, because this is a closed session conversation that the board has. Oh. Real estate, when you're negotiating like that, actually does happen in closed session, because it's important that it doesn't happen in an open session, just like you wouldn't go and tell somebody what is your top line or your bottom line when you're negotiating for a house. So a board acts in that same regard.
So I would guess the same thing holds true for the city's offer.
That is accurate. That is accurate. And so the city has given us an informal offer as well. They said that they'll be formalizing their offer here relatively soon.
Now that one doesn't go through the state.
That is correct. That is correct. And so the city's kind of been waiting to see what CHP was going to do and see what that would look like.
Why not take the lead dog position?
That's a question you'd have to ask the city.
Well, it was on 2 weeks ago, so that doesn't help out. I would think if they wanted it, they'd be pushing for it and say, here's your offer. If it's a fair offer, presuming that it's a fair offer. Okay, you got 2 days or 2 weeks.
Right. Right.
Time sensitive it, and either they're there or they're not there.
One of the things that makes an interesting nuance to this is that right now, I think that Mr. Davies Hughes talked about this a little bit when he was on a week or so ago. Schools and one-time money for us is pretty good. And real estate is one-time money. It comes in one time, you spend it, it's gone. It doesn't go ongoing. It has to be spent on facilities. So I think the offer is going to have to be pretty good for us to be willing to do something with it. The big thing that we had to do was that abatement and demolition.
Right. That's done. So now it's sellable property. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City School Superintendent. Now, Fred, you had said that when you're looking at property sales, it needs to be a good offer. Well, I would think, it has to be a good offer. But why not surplus it now? And just, bank it, use it for PERS or whatever ongoing obligations might be there, or whatever your PERS, STRS, sit and spin, whatever your retirement plan's called.
We have both.
Oh, you have sit and spin.
Yes, okay. We do. We have both. Classified employees are PERS and certificated are STRS.
Yeah. It's some of those where past obligations wouldn't have been able to be met, or maintenance, any of those types of things, and just kind of use the money today and you know, if tomorrow you need to go to a second floor on a building, well, fine, or portables. I mean, that was what we did when your mom was teaching. It's, okay, it is what it is. Is it ideal? Maybe not. Is it usable? Certainly it is. Why tie your hands?
Well, I actually wouldn't consider tying our hands by selling the piece of property. Actually,
no, by not selling it.
Oh, by not? Okay, now I'm with you. Yeah, so I think the offer has to be right in order for it to be sold. And you look back when the property was originally surplus. It was surplus before my time in the district. I've been in the district now for 10 years. This surplus predated me. We have invested $1 million in the property to do the abatement and demolition. And so anything... it has to break $1 million as far as an offer for the district to be any time
sure made
positive.
Whole. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And so if you look back when this was surplus 12 years ago, what do you think that piece of property would have been worth? Nowhere near what it's worth right now, especially when you start considering what's going on with housing, the uniqueness of that piece of land, being out of the tsunami zone.
I would think that the city would be drooling all over it, but yet you talk to them and it's... It doesn't seem to hit their prescribed pro forma that was done prior to thinking about that property. I mean, it just seems like that would be just a logical spot. You got a couple main drags on in the neighborhood on either side. You got the school right next door. You got the fire department's right there. Everything is right there. I would think they'd be beating it down your door each week trying to get you to say yes to the offer, or the school board to say yes to the offer.
Right, and the city's certainly interested, but you know, until recently we haven't, and we still don't actually have that formal offer yet, other than just you know, kind of a tipping of the cards of here's what we think the offer will be around, and so.
And that's got to be in the neighborhood that you guys feel comfortable with. Otherwise, you would have dismissed it already.
Well, I can't dismiss it. The board has to make that decision.
You guys, that was the cumulative you and board members.
Right, right. Well, candidly, the board has yet to hear it. They will hear it for the first time.
They've not seen the offer?
Right, tonight. It just comes tonight. This offer just came out from them last week, and so we haven't had a board meeting.
Oh, so this isn't the lingering one that we talked about for the last couple of years.
Well, there was the lingering interest, but never an offer that...
They stepped up.
Right.
Oh.
Yep.
Well, that brings a different level. So somebody could actually say, yep.
It's certainly possible.
Deal done?
Yep, certainly possible. Certainly possible.
I was using yup every other word. That Cal Poly thing is rearing its head again, isn't it?
Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed. Yep. Yep. You know, that's actually my auctioneering training.
Oh, I was yep. Like, yeah. Or maybe that was Arcata.
No, that's yuppie.
Oh,
wait a minute. I'm going to get myself in trouble here.
You're right. You're going down that slippery slope, but that's okay. So you're feeling pretty comfortable that there'll be some activity there one way or the other. And I think that's all that the community is really kind of looking for.
I don't know that I would say that I'm comfortable that there would be activity. I'm
yes
comfortable
or no.
That there would be a consideration of the offer. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes or no doesn't really impact Alice Burney. I mean, it might for attendance.
That's accurate. Yes,
certainly. If it's not a senior center that goes
yes.
in there,
I mean, here's the reality: if we got to choose as a school district what went in there, what do you think it would be?
Oh, I think you go housing.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. That's what a school district does. We educate students, and so of course we'd want housing to go in there. But the thing is, we don't get control over what goes in there. We only get control
that
over
part
what
of the
sale price. Nope, it's not. The city deals with what goes in there. Right now it's zoned as public, and so anything public can go in there. And so if they put housing in there, the city would have to rezone the property.
Also, public housing wouldn't qualify, or low-cost housing. Or
that's correct, because that's still residential.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But CHP is public, and so that certainly would qualify.
I bet you it would take them about an afternoon to rezone it if they got it.
Well, I think it only, last time I checked, it only takes three. Three of those five, they're up there to do rezoning.
Only takes three, huh?
Of the five, yes.
Oh, new math here in the studio. We really do need to get a camera in here.
Thankfully, there is none.
Yes, on so many levels. So many levels. So for that to happen, it's relatively straightforward for the city to be able to to make that adjustment.
Oh, well, again, I'm not an expert in that area, but from my understanding, yes, I believe that they have to do some background work on rezoning and send out notifications.
Public hearing. And
right.
Punch it through, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like what they've done with other projects.
You're really trying to get
I'm
me in trouble,
I'm trying to suck you into that
uh-huh.
hole, and you're not even playing there at all, are you?
Don't throw rocks in a glass house. That's what my mom always taught me.
Well, that's just because you embarrass yourself by missing.
Indeed. You know, you picture that glass dome house, and I just throw that nice arc right inside the dome.
Oh, I was thinking more of the three hops before it got there.
Both could be true.
That's true. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City School Superintendent. So you got that edifice across the street that's starting to get a little color to it, yellow, in between the steel. Are you getting excited yet about it? Or is it still kind of chunking along? And
Well, I tell you, when you take a look at what inflation has been doing over the past year, and recognizing that we've been locked in that contract for about a year, I'm excited that we're in a contract and that thing's going to get done because, you know.
Are the contractors going to be able to, well, you don't want to go bankrupt having to do the job.
Of course.
Are they still able to make it through there without going hooves up?
Well, the deal is when you do a design bid build, and so they did the bid and now they're building, we designed it, that they have to put in the appropriate buffers for inflation and what should happen out there, and that is their responsibility at this point. And so far, things seem to be going well. There's been some products that have had some inflationary issues on them that they're concerned about, but really, that's their responsibility at this point. They need to figure out how to make that work. So when the gym was built, it was approximately $24 million bid on it, and that created some serious heartburn for us because you put the soft costs in there, you're talking about a $30 million project. We originally budgeted about $17 million for this project. And so we considered at that time when that bid came in, rejecting all bids, thinking that because of COVID, the market will correct itself and we may get a better price. Well, thank goodness we didn't do that because we would have been
Stop thinking, just do much.
And that's what we did. I mean, we talked about it for about half a second, and it was just the market was so erratic at that point. Nobody could predict. And so we just made the safe bet and we did it. And we're thankful that we did it. And we're locked in all the way through the completion of the new gym, the demolition of the existing gym, including the abatement of the existing gym, and the parking lot that comes in the place of where the existing gym is.
What's left other than the road?
After the original gym gets abated?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a full-blown parking lot. And it's a parking lot that's set up for hard court services for the PE activities. And so it's all the asphalt that goes in there, the parking stalls, the landscape that goes around, curb and gutter, appropriate drainage, all that sort of thing.
So there's nothing remaining after those three elements are taken care of?
That's correct. So the existing gym built. Then they start doing the flat work around it. In fact, they have started doing some of that out there on J Street.
Is that the sidewalk?
The sidewalk, the concrete, the planters, the bus drop-off. There's going to be a bus drop-off loop between where the existing gym is now and where this new gym is.
Oh, is that between the two?
Correct.
So just a turnaround kind of thing?
Right. So K Street. So where K Street comes down and dead ends into the high school, before they used to wrap kind of around and it came, K Street made kind of a little loop into Humboldt. And so that road on Humboldt there will now dead end at J Street, where before you could drive through to K Street. That'll dead end because there's going to be a covered walkway between the gymnasium and the cafeteria science building. And so no longer will the buses be able to pull all the way through there, so they'll now pull through K Street. There'll be a bus turnaround in there. I'm sure everybody can see the finger motions I'm making of the bus turnaround. There'll be a bus turnaround.
You know, just like Winship.
Yes. There'll be a bus turnaround right there at the end of K Street where they'll go in K Street, turn around, and come out K Street, and that'll be between the new parking lot where the existing gym is and the new gym.
Now, there are challenges at J Street, which is much wider than K, to get in onto Booner. How are you going to pull that one off with buses? Is there enough? I know there's enough there for one, but if you've got buses coming and going at the same time, is it wide enough to be able to do that? And then K Street, nobody's thinking that there's going to be a bus pulling out onto Booner at K Street.
Well, the buses have pulled onto K Street for decades off of Booner.
At 4 in the afternoon or 6 o'clock at night when...
Right.
The athletic teams.
And so now I'm sure that many of the bus drivers will take Huntoon, which it goes down the backside of the gymnasium, so they won't necessarily have to go out K. They'll circle around in the bus turnoff and then probably come out Huntoon and then potentially still go down Humboldt or maybe even come all the way across to, oh, I got to do the alphabet in my mind. Which way is the one-way street? H. Make sure I get it correct here.
H goes home, I goes into town.
Well, I got it right. I just had to think about it for a second.
Yeah, good thing you weren't driving. So in that, with the traffic flow, that's got to be one of those things that's lingering down the road that district is looking at, scratching your head going, what? What do we do? A permanent solution to be able to get traffic through easy without having to put pylons up or the barricades and all that kind of stuff different times of the day.
Right. And so one of the things that will change, J Street was closed down for years prior to about
it kind of
10
made
years
sense.
Ago. Yeah, because we have students walking across the street. Art and some other classes are across the street there over on the Marshall campus. So that made sense. But likely once the gym is completed, J Street will be open again because we won't have the bus drop-off right in front of the high school, so that'll be additional parking for students. What's created the need to close off J Street right now is so many students are parking in the Marshall parking lot because there's such limited parking around there. And so that'll open up. There'll be some parking that's at the bottom of Del Norte down by Albee Stadium. When that project is done, where the old ag shop is and those ag classrooms, those will be abated and demolished, and that'll be a parking lot down there. So some students will be able to park
that
down
bodes
there.
Well for lunchtime getaways. I could see that one coming already.
Oh, that campus is so open. If students...
No, I'm not talking about open. I'm just talking about kids showing up with goodies in the trunk at lunch. Let's go down and have lunch.
Well, yep. I mean, there's always that challenge no matter where your parking lot is. And so what we have to do is appropriately supervise.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Will the campus be recognizable 10 years from now? You're blowing up the football. I'm sure that the sidewalk is going to be significantly changed coming down Del Norte, where you're going to have trip and fall lawsuits all over the place. You got the street at the bottom. You got the old ag building. You got the baseball field or whatever it's going to be. You got the chicken farm or whatever.
I'm choosing not to bite. I'm going to let you finish
there
before I respond here.
Yeah, and then Yeah, you just got all the other changes that have to happen because of technology.
Science building modernization. It's going to be completely modernized.
Is it going to look anything like it does now, similar like it does now, or totally different?
I actually believe people will feel right at home. From my perspective, the signature building on that campus is the old junior high school building for those people that have been around for a long time. The main building, absolutely. Yeah. And that building, and this is just my own personal opinion now, is a beautiful building. I think it represents Eureka High School. That's our flagship building of Eureka High School. And that will remain pretty much aesthetically the same. Hardly anything will be done to the aesthetics there. We've done some window projects. We've done some heating projects inside that building, you know, done some of the guts of the building, if you will. You know, those non-sexy type projects that don't look so great from the outside but help with the functionality. And then adding some of the additional buildings around the core, like the complete redo of the music building. That building looks completely different. Brand new ag building up there, which is three classrooms in the shop building. It's right in the middle of where the parking lot used to be.
But you got the old shop building, too.
That will go away. Oh, well, which old shop? The auto shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, the old shop building is right there. Yeah. But the beauty of that building is actually in pretty great shape. And the beauty of it, you can't see it anymore. So that's part of
what are you going to use it for?
It's auto shop. Auto's still in there. We're still teaching auto in there.
Okay.
And kids are doing, we have full courses of auto inside of those. In fact, the auto program is growing. We're one of the few auto programs left in the state. And so we're really happy about that. If you look at CTE at Eureka High School, I'm exceptionally proud of
vocational ed,
career technical education. So anyways, those full wood shop, full auto shop, full ag mechanic shop, and I mean, high schools of 1,200 students around, having that many shops left on them is just unheard of around the state. And our voters, when they passed the bonds, said in the survey how important CTE was to them, and we answered that because we agree and we really want to put an emphasis on that. Where challenge comes, like I talked about in the beginning of the program, is finding teachers to teach those programs. Dave Stevens in Woodshop is just doing a phenomenal job. He's been there for a long time, built a fantastic program in Woodshop, also in the CAD, computer-assisted design.
So there's not teaching teachers of those programs?
No, there is no industrial arts program at Humboldt State. At all. So how we're recruiting.
Do you get a teaching degree with an area of emphasis, or do you have an area of emphasis that you get your degree in and then get a teaching credential after you have mastered the skill set?
So if we're talking career and technical education, there's two different ways you can do it. So I talked about Dave Stevens. He went through the old industrial technology program and has an industrial technology credential at HSU. He's about my same vintage.
Another Arcata kid?
No, I'm just saying vintage, age, you know. Oh, yeah. I didn't say what variety he was.
Okay.
So the auto shop teacher, on the other hand, came in a different pathway. He actually has a credential in social science. Sean Mitchell is his name. He was a auto tech at Lithia and then got his experience through industry. And so he teaches 2 periods of social science and 3 periods of auto shop. And how he got credentialed to teach auto shop was through his industry experience. And he's just, I mean, he's been gangbusters in building that program and done a fantastic job bringing those students in.
So life experience counts, but you still need to have a teaching credential, right?
Nope. You can do it. You don't even have to have a college.
If there was, I could teach a radio program?
Well, you have to be good at it.
Okay, fine.
Oh, geez. I said that out loud, didn't I?
You have to fake through the interview process. Okay, fine.
Yes, you would qualify for like a broadcasting class or something like that because you have decades of experience in broadcasting, and so you could teach through that experience at the high school level. You get what's called a designated subjects credential.
Okay, so it's narrow. But
correct.
You still can
that's
provide
correct. Yep.
Instruction.
And then our ag teacher, the one that I talked about earlier, well, we have 3 ag teachers, but the one that was teaching the ag mechanics, he came through the traditional pathway of getting his credential. I believe he went to Fresno State, got a credential in agriculture, and then taught the ag mechanics classes. That's I used to teach shop a long time ago, and that's my credential, is in agriculture.
Well, that's why you're known as Three Finger Van Fleck, right?
Well, that's the shop teacher way, right?
Yeah. If somebody has interest in being one of these teachers, not necessarily in the programs you've got, but if they have a skill set, how do they go about it? Do they just give you a buzz, give a principal a buzz at their high school? How do they go about that?
Yeah. Reach out to the personnel department in the district that they're interested in going. College of the Redwoods is the same way. You can get in with industry experience. You don't have to have that bachelor's, if you will. And, you know, the interesting thing is when the economy's rough, it's easier to recruit people in out of the industry. But when the economy's hot like it is right now and there's a lot of money to be made in industry, it's much more difficult to recruit people out of the industry.
And so if you have an interest now, it would be a good time.
Indeed. And
see,
it's
read between the lines. I can do that. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Yep, absolutely.
See you everybody tomorrow.